Hey everyone, welcome to the Bridgepoint Church Message Podcast. My name's Andy, and I have the privilege of overseeing our online ministry. Do you ever think the Bible isn't relevant or isn't for modern people? The ancient settings may seem foreign to us, but the struggles and issues biblical characters face are the same ones we also face. In fact, the book of 1 John, where our Love Is series focuses, was a letter written by a real person to real people in real situations. As we study it more closely, we can see that it is just applicable to us today as it was when it was written. If you are seeking security and confidence today, listen on.
Well, hey, Bridgepoint. I want to welcome our Tyrone campus. I think you're alive. You alive today? Welcome our downtown campus, always holding it down every Sunday, packing that building with energy and enthusiasm in a way that only you can. I love going to downtown campus. Want to welcome those watching online, or maybe those tuning in later via our YouTube channel or podcast. But thanks for doing church with us today. Last time that you saw me up here, I believe was about a month ago, I was up here going through couples counseling in our series, our last series called Better Than Normal. I was up here with my amazing wife, Nikki, and the very gifted therapist, Haley Erickson. I've just received questions in the time since about our marriage and how are we really doing. I just want to let you know we are doing great, okay? We are doing great. And I would give you some examples of some of the practical bits that we applied from Haley in our marriage. But I think at this point, you know enough about our marriage. We are continuing our series called Love Is. Love Is. This series is based on the letter of 1 John. 1 John is a book in the New Testament. Like many books in the New Testament, it is a letter. It's a letter written by a real person to real people in a real situation. And so John is writing this letter, and John, history refers to as Jesus' beloved disciple. What that means is probably no one, maybe no one else knew Jesus like John did. And to modernize it, if it was National Best Friend Day, you'd probably see a selfie of Jesus and John trending on social media, all right? I mean, they know each other really, really well. And John writes this letter because the people he's writing to, the churches he's writing to, are really, really confused. You see, they have this thing, they prioritize this thing called Gnosticism. Not to get too weird about it or anything today, but here's what Gnosticism is. It's this belief in like superior knowledge, this idolization of this deep intellectualism, this enlightenment. And these people believe that their knowledge was so superior and they had these special insights about God, and that's all great and all, but it was disconnected from the Jesus that John knew. So John's writing, John knows Jesus really well, to clear up the muck, to share with these people, hey, this is what's distinct about Jesus. This is who Jesus really is and what Jesus really said. And I think that's applicable for today, because does anyone else feel like there's a whole lot of ideas about God out there? Does anyone ever feel lost in the muck? Like, hey, this stuff is so subjective. Maybe you're watching today and you've heard so many opinions about God and so many ideas about Jesus. And maybe you're at the point where that's why you've taken a long break or it's even kept you from maybe entering a relationship with Jesus. Today, I hope that you hear not from me, but a person who knew Jesus really well, who wrote to clean up the muck, to clarify what's so unique about Jesus. And how, most importantly, can we have confidence in our relationship with Jesus? So Tyler got the party started the last couple weeks here with these couple of big ideas. First of all, that faith in God is living from victory, not for victory. This is a huge truth as followers of Jesus. This was actually cited in one of our series called Surrounded, where we talked about the details of spiritual warfare, of all the battles when it comes to following Jesus, all the hurdles that we climb, that we face. But we're not fighting for victory, we're fighting from it, all right? Week two, until your worth is secured in God, love will always become transactional. Until your worth is secured in God, love will always become transactional. As Tyler did a very articulate job of sharing that message last week. This truth here resonates really deeply for me because it's a key theme in 1 John, and it's a key theme in my life. 1 John, the letter of 1 John, changed my life. It did. It changed it in a way that if you took out the letter of 1 John from my life, there would be a big black hole in the way that Jesus has grown me in my faith with him. See, I put my faith in Jesus as a high school student. And while I experienced forgiveness and grace and purpose in a way that I couldn't find anywhere else in the world, and I did try to look really hard, I was really, really insecure in my relationship with God. I was really, really doubtful. And so following that decision to follow Jesus, every time I was at any kind of church function of any sort, and a preacher would say something like, if you want to be absolutely confident in your relationship with God today, then, you know, come forward or go to prayer and care. I was running. I mean, probably like 20 to 30 different situations I could recall of going forward or finding someone to talk to, because I was just longing to be confident that I really was a child of God. I heard phrases growing up as a guy in the Midwest. I heard phrases like, he's on fire for Jesus, or he's really strong in his faith. But what I felt internally were the doubts of the reality of, how about the times where that fire is dim? How about the times where my faith is weak? And because of that, I lacked confidence. One night, I'm watching TV, and there's a replay of an old message from a legend, Billy Graham. Billy Graham, when it comes to preaching, is a huge inspiration of mine. And so I'm watching him, and Billy Graham says this. He says, if you want to know if you're a Christian, that's me, read 1 John. That's all I needed to hear. I was so desperate to find confidence in my relationship with Jesus that I didn't just read 1 John, I memorized it. It took me forever. All right? And I've never been able to memorize a book since. I've tried and then kind of flamed out. But I had such this deep insecurity and desperation to have security and confidence in my relationship with Jesus that I didn't just read it, I memorized it. And you know what? Things got worse. Because when you start reading the letter of John, that's why Tyler shared it with you, we're going backwards through the letter of 1 John, because at the end of 1 John, John presents thoughts that kind of bring it all complete, his message. You see how it all comes together. But if you don't read it like that, it actually gets worse before it gets better, because I was reading verses about how I should sin less and love more. And as a college kid, I was like, well, that's great, except that I'm sinning more and loving less. Besides that, I feel great about my relationship with God. But then, fast forward one night, I'm lying awake in my bed at Bible College, one of the most prestigious Bible colleges in the country, if not the world, but it wasn't doing anything for my spiritual confidence. And I'm lying awake, battling anxiety, and the verse that night is 1 John 4:16. And this is what 1 John 4:16 says. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. I was just excited that day that the memory verse was short. I didn't know how much this little verse was gonna change my life. It has become an anthem in my relationship with Jesus. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. Suddenly it hit me. I had been spending my faith journey up to that point knowing and relying on my love for God rather than knowing and relying on his love for me. And that's why I was insecure. That's why I lacked confidence. Other verses started to come to mind that I had been reading in 1 John, like, this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. It's pretty clear, right? And sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Or this one in 1 John, see what great love the Father has lavished on us. To lavish someone with something is to bury them, right? To just cover them. See what great love the Father has lavished on us. How has he buried us in his love? What does that look like? Well, that we should be called the children of God. And John goes, I know what you're about to say. You're about to say, even if you don't say it, I don't feel like I'm his child. Look what John says. This is my favorite. That we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. And that is what we are. John says, I know you're doubting it, but check it out. You are. Look at the love the Father has lavished on you. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may, what's that word? K-N-O-W? No. That you may have, that you have eternal life, so that you may hope, so that you may wonder, so that you might feel optimistic, so that you can know that you have eternal life. That word know, K-N-O-W, is used over 20 times in the letter of 1 John. He is making a very direct point. I remember talking with a friend of mine who's a missionary on the other side of the globe. And I talked about having this absolute confidence in a relationship with God, the kind of confidence John's writing about. And he said, Chad, in my part of the world, in the predominant religion here, it would be viewed as blasphemy to be able to say that you have absolute confidence in your relationship with God. But that's what I've learned is so distinct about Jesus from any other faith system or world religion. That because of God's love for us, we can have absolute confidence in our relationship with him. Because of God's love for us, we can have absolute confidence in our relationship with him by knowing and relying on God's love for us. You've heard an illustration, I'm sure, before of a chair, one of the faith we kind of put in a chair, right, to hold us up. And it's one thing to know that this chair, right, can hold me, to know that. It's another thing to rely on it. What the word rely means is to put your weight upon something. So it's one thing to know, it's another thing to rely and put my weight upon that. I know some of you are like, I'm about to have a heart attack. That little bald man is about to break his neck. Hey, that takes faith. Risk is always involved, okay? But it's one thing to know, it's another thing to rely, to put your weight upon something. Do you know God's love for you today? Do you know it? Do you know how he fashioned you? Do you know how he created you just so he could delight in you? Do you know that when things broke down, the rescue mission he came on to save you? Do you know that on the cross he was thinking about you? Do you know that when he rose from the dead, he was excited for you, what it meant for you? Do you know how much he loves you? Do you know that? Because it's one thing to know it. It's another thing to put your weight upon that and find your confidence in him. Listen, when our confidence is dependent on our love for God, I hope I'm not offending anyone today deeply, but our love, I'll speak for myself, my love for God is weak, it's inconsistent, it's fragile, it is all over the place. And so if my confidence is rooted in my love for God, my confidence will be weak, inconsistent, fragile, and all over the place. Anyone else with me here? If my confidence, though, is rooted in God's love for me, God's love is perfect. It is faithful. It's entirely reliable and totally consistent. And so if my confidence is put in God's love for me, my confidence can be consistent. It can be reliable. It can be dependable. Because my confidence is not found in my love for God. It is found in God's love for me. I hope that's encouraging to someone today. I hope that's encouraging to you today. Because if not, that's all I got for you, all right? Listen, that absolute confidence that we have in our relationship with God, it's not just a when we die kind of thing, you know? That confidence of like, when I die, I'm gonna be in heaven. That's good, but our absolute confidence is an everyday life kind of thing. That's why it changes us. Tyler's talked about the first couple weeks of God's love for us. What does God's love do for us? Like, how does it flesh out in our lives? Well, because of God's love, we can have absolute confidence in our relationship with Him. But also because of God's love, we have power over sin. Yeah, this isn't just a confidence of when we die kind of thing. This is as we live every day by knowing and relying, putting our weight upon, right, God's love for us. John, in his letter, 1 John, he talks about sin, and I just want to make sure I share the proper context of the letter rather than take something out of context. And this is what John says about sin. He says, first of all, everyone has a sin issue. Everyone has a sin issue. He says right away in the opening chapter, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. You know, we might be able to claim that we don't have problems, but you should just ask the person next to you, okay? Verse 10, if we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. Pretty strong statements from John. And so John's writing people, these people who have such pride in their knowledge, their deep insight, the follow the spirit, bro. Like they have this kind of enlightenment that other people don't have. And the people that he's writing to are claiming that they're without sin or they're minimizing their sin. They're explaining themselves out of it. They're rationalizing it away. And John says, guys, don't trip. We all have sin. We all have sin issues. I showed you verse 8 and verse 10, but look at verse 9. John says that when we confess our sin, we are forgiven and fully restored. Verse 9, if we confess our sins... If we confess, we admit our sinfulness, He, Jesus, is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. To confess is not to just admit. I have anger issues. No, I'm addicted. Yeah, I always do that. That's admitting. Confessing. Confessing is to confess, to admit our sin, looking for healing and growth. To confess is to come and to confess, to own our sin and to look for healing and growth. And when we do that, when we bring our sin to God with an honest heart, He is faithful and just to forgive us every time. That means that it would go against the character of God to not forgive us one time. Do you realize that? It would go against, God would have to sacrifice being God if He didn't forgive you when you confess your sin. He is faithful and just. It is in His character, His DNA, every time that you ask for forgiveness. Not only does He forgive you, but He purifies you from all unrighteousness. All right, so you hear a lot from us communicators, especially Tyler and I, about our kids, because our kids dominate our lives, okay? All right, so I'm a dad of ages 6, 4, and 2. And not to be crass or anything like that, but just as a matter of fact, parents, come on, man, you know, poop is a common thing in our house. It is a common issue that we have to face. There are situations, especially like, you know, 2 years ago where everyone, you know, was in diapers and having issues. And so a child would have an issue, and if I was on my A game, I'd go and take care of the issue, right? And wipe him clean or whatever, right? And then I'd bring, let's say, for example, our son to Nikki, my wife, and Nikki would say, that kid smells. Give him a bath. It's like, well, but I cleaned him. Yeah, but he still smells like poop. Bathe him, please. Wash the whole thing. And I think that's how we feel like sometimes in our relationship with God. Because we know God will forgive us. We know that God will take care of the issue. But we still feel like we smell. You know that God will forgive you. But you feel like He still looks at you and says, you stink. Maybe you got something in your life that stench you feel like is the sin that you just keep wrestling in, you keep struggling with, and you know God forgives you, but you still think that there's this smell to Him of disgust or disappointment. I want you to know that God looks at you, He loves you, and not only does He forgive you, but He purifies you from all unrighteousness. You can have that confidence today. But you have to not just know that, you have to rely on that promise. to know and rely on Jesus, is to know and rely on the power and the promise and the presence of Jesus. Are you willing to rely on that truth today? That God not only forgives you when you confess, when you come to Him looking for healing and growth, but He purifies you every single time. You never wear Him out. You never exhaust Him. He's God, you're not. It's His promise to you. Finally, John says this about sin, that when we fight for growth we fight for growth because the war has already been won. So when we wrestle in our sin, when we fight, we're not fighting for victory, we're fighting from victory. John says, dear friends, now we are the children of God. You get that? Now we are the children of God. Still doubting? Now we are the children of God. And what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. All who have this hope in Him purify themselves just as He is pure. All right, so here's the end game for a follower of Jesus. One day, we will see Jesus, and it will not be walking by faith, it will be walking by sight. How awesome is that? All right? No pain, no shame, no disappointment, no guilt, right? Finally, we see Jesus, and we will be made like Him. The war has been won when Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead. Game over. The kingdom of evil lost. Now you might wonder, well then why fight sin? Like, what's the point? Well, the point is that we wrestle and we fight, not for victory, because we already have victory as children of God. We already know the end game. I think of Tom Brady after winning the Super Bowl. He was standing up on that podium with the Lombardi Trophy. Jokes insert there, right? He was actually holding the Lombardi Trophy at the time. And he says to everyone, he looks out to his teammates and his coaches, he says, we all knew we'd get here, didn't we? Hey, as believers, when we finally see Jesus, we could look to each other and we could say, we all knew we'd get here, didn't we? Didn't we? So why did we fight? We fought because the end goal, we're going to be made like Christ. So every day of our lives, we're going to become more and more and more and more like Christ. And 3 steps forward and 4 steps back and three, and we're going to fight and we're going to own and embrace the grace and forgiveness of Jesus every step of the way, because that's what this relationship is founded on anyways. But the war's been won. And so we don't fight for victory, we fight from it. And we fight for growth, to become more and more like Christ. We can know and rely on that promise. If you feel defeated today by the sin that you're wrestling with, by the way, sin is an offense against God's character or commands. That's what sin is. We're all covered by it, we're marred by it, right? But we no longer have to be owned by it. We have power over sin. And if you're feeling owned by discouragement and shame, I'm encouraging you, I'm begging you to bring that to Jesus, to know that He can forgive you, He will, and purify you entirely so that you can keep growing in Christ. So when we know and rely on God's love for us, we can have absolute confidence in our relationship with Him. And we can have power over sin. But we also have power to love. We have power to love. John says this, first of all, he says, what love is not. You see, every time we come to church, it feels like, especially lately, you probably feel like, here we go again. We should love people. Like, how many times are we going to talk about this? We should love people. Let's make a deal today. We'll stop talking about how we should love people when we start getting good at loving people. Is that a deal? I know that's a bad deal for me. John says, for this is the message you have heard from the beginning. Yeah, you tired of it? John says, from the beginning you've heard this. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brothers were righteous. Hey, from the beginning, the first siblings in the history of humanity ended in a celebrity death match. Since then, we've been talking about that we need to love each other better. okay? And in order to know what love is, we have to know what love is not. We have to know what love is not. And so he says, do not be like Cain. Do not be like Cain. And do not be surprised, my brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. Why? Because of our political takes? No. Because of our pride? No. Don't be surprised if the world hates you because of your love. That's why the world should reject you, because you're loving people. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him. There's a lot to be said here, and let me just focus on one line. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. The people that John's writing to have given themselves a margin of error for their lack of love. They dismiss it. Well, I know what that verse really means. Well, my relationship with God is fine. Well, I know what Jesus is really saying or what he meant to say. John's saying, let me clear up the muck and remind you, you know that you're on team Jesus by loving each other. Jesus, of course, said, the world will know you're my disciples by your love for one another. We know that we've passed from death to life because we love each other. So here's an obvious question. Does the world see Cain in us or Christ in us? Paul, in 1 Corinthians 13, he talks about what love is, but he also talks about what love isn't. He says, love is patient, love is kind. And then what does he say? It does not envy. It is not proud. It is not rude or self-seeking. It always hopes, always perseveres, always protects, always trusts. But we cannot bring our own definition to love. I was brainstorming just on my own level this last week, because I think most of us, if I asked you, hey, how many of us would say we love people? I think most of us, including myself, would say, of course I love people. And I think what I mean by that, and what maybe many of us mean by that, is I generally hope for people's best, right? That like good things happen, and especially as long as they don't take away from mine. And I don't necessarily want anyone to die. I think that's maybe my baseline for love, but we cannot give our own definition for love. We have to look at Jesus' definition of love. And so here it is. What love is. By the way, that's what the series is called. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. John's writing to people filled with pride. Rationalization, their view of high intellectualism. And he's saying, first of all, love doesn't have space for pride. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, so we ought to lay down our lives for each other. 1 John 4:11 says, dear children, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. The word there for dear children, or dear friends, is the word beloved. John writes, dear beloved, be love. Dear beloved, be love. Listen, when we have distinct confidence in Christ, we make a distinct impact for Christ. Dear beloved, beloved children of God, be love. Be love. John gets specific about what this love looks like. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? John's saying, stop rationalizing, stop dismissing, stop saying that you love people when you aren't. Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. Do people see the Cain in us or the Christ in us? This is a question that haunts me in a way. Do people see the Cain in me or the Christ in me? Do they see the anger and the jealousy and the selfishness and the pride, or do they see the humility? The emptying of myself in a place that comes from security, because when I know and I rely on God's love for me, when I know and I rely on God's love for me, my mission is to bring that love to people. And it doesn't come from a place of insecurity. It comes from a place of absolute security. You know what religion is? Religion is we spend our whole life responding to God's love for us by trying to love him back, and we always fall short, right? Isn't it crazy? Jesus didn't say that. Jesus says, so as I have loved you, go love people. As I have loved you, the more you understand my love for you, don't try to return it back to me because that's a failed mission. Go love people. Hey, beloved, be love. So when we know and rely on God's love for us, we can have absolute confidence in our relationship with him. We can have power over sin. Power over sin, and we can have the power to love for people to see Christ in us rather than the Cain in us. Finally, because of God's love for us, we have comfort in our doubts. John closes out chapter 3 by saying this. This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. Hey, does anyone want their hearts to be set at rest today? Some of you are like me and you maybe it's easy for you to get caught up in chasing God's will for your life. What do you want from me? What do you want from me? What's next for me? And that can be so overwhelming. And it can induce so much stress. And some of us more than anything would just, if we had one prayer, it's just for our hearts to be at rest, just to be at rest. Verse 20, if our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. We can have absolute confidence in our relationship with God because of God's love for us. Listen, please, this is not a cure-all. This is a trust-all. Please do not hear from me a tone of condemnation or judgment. But I hope you hear from me. I hope you hear from me, someone who's wrestling in the trenches with you. And his experience that the only place I can find confidence is by knowing and relying on God's love for me. And even in that confidence, I have doubts. But I bring those doubts when I'm functioning properly. I bring those doubts to God, believing, relying on his promise that he's greater than my heart and he knows everything. And I can rest in that security. There's hearts in this room today who just want to experience rest. And I want you to know that you can have that rest in Jesus. You really can. So when we know and rely on God's love for us, we can have absolute confidence in our relationship with him. We can have power over sin. We have power to love. And we have comfort in our doubts. Because again, if you haven't got it yet, because of God's love for us, God's love for us, we can have absolute confidence in our relationship with him by knowing and relying on the love God has for us. Can we try something today? I want you to have that verse burned in your mind in the most positive of ways. And so we know and we rely on the love God has for us. You ready? I'm gonna give you a chance to fill in the blanks. And so we, and on the love God has, and so we, and we, on the God has, that's where we find our confidence. This confidence is not a confidence that's just when we die. This confidence is a confidence as we live. Because when we know and rely on God's love for us, we can have absolute confidence in our relationship with him. We can experience power over sin. Doesn't mean that it won't be a wrestling match. Doesn't mean that we don't need to go to therapy. Doesn't mean that we don't need to change our mental framework and learn new behaviors. But my goodness, we are fighting from victory as children of God, right? And when we know and rely on the love God has for us, we have power to love in a way that Christ has loved us. And when we know and rely on God's love for us, we have comfort even in our doubts. Are you experiencing that confidence today? Do you want that confidence today? Because it takes faith. Faith is believing in the promises of God. You know what doesn't take faith? Relying on your love for God. Because when you look at your love for God, you know, you see that it's weak and it's inconsistent and it's all over the place and it's fragile and it's up and it's down. That doesn't take faith. That just takes awareness. What takes faith is to rely on God's love for you, to believe that He is faithful, that His love is consistent, that He is perfect, and that you can trust Him as you throw your weight upon Him. And so we know and we rely on the love God has for us. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for your faithful, consistent, and perfect love. Lord, forgive us for the moments in which we think that we can find any kind of security in our love for you, or in our actions, or in our behavior. Lord, I pray for the people in this room and watching online at our campuses today, for the heart that is so desperate for that confidence, that that heart would find its rest in you today. And it's a confidence that would lead to bringing that kind of secure love to our hurting world. And so God, if the world rejects us, would they reject us because of our love? Would they see Christ in us? And the love that comes from the truth that we know and we rely on your love for us. May we find joy in that today. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.
Are you desperate for security and confidence? 1 John is the place to start. It's because of God's love for us, not our love for Him, that we can have absolute confidence in our relationship with Him. We know and rely on the love God has for us. So let me ask you, do you know His love for you? If you'd like to know more about a relationship with Jesus, we would love to chat with you. You can find our contact information at bridgepointfl.com. Please reach out. We would love to journey with you. Have a great week, everyone.